One more thing about stock. Reno will not let you, like, chop the wings off shorter or shorten the canopy. They're still, my airplane measures exactly like theirs, so it's just the little things on it.
Thank you. Tell them the story about the media. They'll love that. The media guy then was looking at your stickers on the side and wanted to know how you didn't have the first place on there.
You were disqualified the first year,
and this guy in the newspaper came up to Gene. Now, this is the media for you. Come up to Gene, and, you know, we're just talking, and he said, well, I see you race at Reno and this and that, but I see you don't have a first place at Reno. And he says, nah, he said, those other guys cheat better than I do. The next day, the newspaper said, Reno Air Racer admits to cheating at Reno Air Races.
Be careful what you say to me.
So be careful out there.
They never take it wrong.
Telling you.
Yeah, talking about the panels, like I said, we do have some nice equipment. I mean, we go across country. We've got TCAS, we've got StormScope, we've got XM or WSI Weather. We've got Aspen HSIs. We've got some nice Garmin navigation equipment. Because the thing is, most of the guys that have a T6, they think, you know, how do you justify doing that? You know, because most guys, they're Sunday afternoon T6 guys, and they want to go out and just, you know, enjoy the airplane for flying the airplane. But the thing is, the way our business is, or the way the air show business is, if you don't show up, you don't get paid. And so what we do is we don't let a little line of rain or a front or something get in the way of a paycheck. So we're going to file and go. And, you know, if they want us there on Thursday to do media flights, we're going to be there Thursday. There may be, you know, two fronts laying between where we are and where they are, but we're going to file and we're going to get there. One comforting thing about doing that kind of work in a T6, you know, the airplane is quite robust. And so, you know, you start talking about, you know, especially flying in the summer, you got a lot of thunderstorms and you got a lot of severe weather. And every once in a while, you know, you have it is, you file and you get sent through some of that stuff. But the one comforting thing I always kind of hold on to is that somebody one time told me, they said the very first airplane that ever penetrated the eye of a hurricane was an AT-6. So it makes you feel a little bit better. At least the airplane hopefully is not going to come apart if I get in some rough weather. And you might, I went from Little Rock back to Birmingham, and it was pouring rain. And when I got there, all my equipment worked the whole way, but for some reason, my right foot, my darn shoe got, my sock was soaking wet. I hadn't figured that one out.
See a show of hands with T6 owners. We got any in the crowd?
Yeah.
Y'all, I want to really quick. Push one of our sponsors, Andy here. Oh, y'all done that? I'm sorry, I'm late. Yeah. Never mind. Okay.
Andy loves you for that, buddy. Did
okay,
get
thank
honorable
you.
Mention.
Well, it really is true, though. I mean, we're not doing this to try to, you know, he is a sponsor and he's a great guy, but, and, you know, we're not, it's a safety thing, guys. These valves are coming apart and you can't get them anymore. Be careful with them out there, because I'm telling you, that fuel, ever you fill it up on one side, you come back next morning, it's split across. You better do something.
So on that weather, obviously Brian's airplane has the problem with the paint job in here on here. So do you have to wait for him for that weather since he doesn't want to get that paint knocked off of there?
Well, I tell you, any airplane, obviously you run it in the rain, the rain will take it off. But the way that the American Propeller does those paint schemes for us on the propeller, and what the leading edge of it is actually polished, so there's no paint. And so as long as you're running a cruise power, you can run that prop through all kinds of rain, and it'll come out just looking just like that. One of the things, so that you know, any kind of airplane, you start running them at takeoff RPM, and it's not much. It'll even start taking the metal off. We did an air show. Of course, we do the Chicago Air and Water Show. And, you know, the way that, especially a remote show like that, because we actually stage about 20-some-odd miles away, is they give you a box time. I mean, you got, when you're, you know, if it's, you're supposed to be on at 155, you know, to 120, then, I mean, your box, it opens then, and if you miss it, then you just miss your time. And so, And you got to basically take it. If you get up there and it's IFR, well, then you just turn around and go back. Or if it's raining, you turn around and go back. Well, so a lot of times, you know, obviously we want to, you know, take care of the spectators. And we want to do our job. So a lot of times we may start in light rain, and at some point in time, light rain will become heavy rain, and we can't. We flew one time, and by the time we finally knocked off, it was a gully washer. And then when we got back, the lead
that's a southern term.
So yeah. Anyway, the leading edge, I got back and it was all eroded on the leading edge because it was all running at takeoff power. And once you get back to cruise, it's not as bad on it. But 2250 and the, you know, the tip of the T6 prop is breaking the speed of sound, and when it starts hitting those raindrops at that speed, it just literally just peels the aluminum back.
And for all of you had seen the show, obviously you can tell that it's so quiet. There's no noise at all. So.
Well, that's what air shows are, smoke and noise, right?
That's what we're paying for. I'm going to steal your microphone, and if you gentlemen don't mind passing that one around for the questions, we're going to let the crowd ask a few here. So raise your hand if you have a question for the gentleman here.
Wonder if the fellas can give us an idea of what level of practice is required to maintain the proficiency to do the shows at the level of precision that you do.
Well, we get asked that also. We get together in the spring once a year, you know, in the beginning of the year, and we practice. But believe it or not, it comes together after about one day of practice. We're right back where we were. And you might say, well, how is that? We've been flying so long together, and Brian's been flying this stuff so long that it actually, it's like riding a bike. It comes right back to you. As far as practicing when we're not doing air shows, you know, it costs money, but, you know, once we hit the road, once we practice that spring deal, we're flying 20, 25 shows a year. We're not flying November, January. You know, we fly a few in November, but January, February, March. We get there Thursday. We'll take the media up and do a loop and a roll and wing over with them, and it pretty much tunes us up. And we just go with it, and we fly Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, the next Thursday, we're on the road again. So it takes a lot of dedication. So, we've had guys try out for the team and that are aerobatic guys and stuff, but they just it takes a lot of dedication and time. I'm sure every, you know, there's a lot of other pilots. They're all capable. You just got to decide whether you want to do it or not.
Questions?
Go ahead. I know the first time I when I joined the team, of course, I'd been doing solo aerobatics for quite a while and felt like I was pretty proficient in a T6. But then, and I had, you know, dabbled in flying wing, but not in the intensity it takes to actually do the whole routine. And I think that I probably practiced at least 25 hours before I even really got where I felt like I could even do it. Matter of fact, up to about 22, 23 hours, I'm going, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get this. But then all of a sudden, it'll just click and go out there and some of those, you know, little small, because it doesn't take a big mistake for you to get, you know, get thrown out. But then all of a sudden, you'll start doing it. And it's like once you get it right, it's like you watch a kid when he rides a bicycle for the first time. You know, they'll go and they'll wreck, and then they'll wreck, and they'll wreck, and then all of a sudden, then they'll finally go about 10 feet. Well, the next day, man, they're riding all over the place on two wheels. Well, it's just like once you learn it, boy, then it grabs hold then, and then you can really go with it. And you got to learn, you got to first learn those fundamentals before it ever makes sense to you. You got to start learning. I mean, like when we do a barrel roll, for example, of course, like I said, most of my experience was flying on the right side. Aileron is everything. When you're flying, you know, normally, you know, you go to the formation clinics, they talk about using rudder to stay in and stuff. Rudder doesn't do a lot in formation and aerobatics. If you're sliding out, it's all, you got to catch it with aileron. And it takes a while for your brain to make it happen without thinking about it. But all of a sudden you'll fly and all of a sudden you'll feel you're still sliding out. Next thing you know, you realize you've already put the aileron in to hold you in. And then when you get to that point, that's when you're really doing formation aerobatics and you can stay, because it has to get, if you got to think about it, it's too late. There's a lot of things that, you know, you got to be able to do instantaneous. It's like landing the thing. You got to be able to push the rudder pedals instantaneous. If you got to think about, well, I'm going left, I got to push the right rudder, it's too late.
What we do, it's been an evolution. We didn't start flying at this level instantaneous. Doc Riddlemeyer, right here in the crowd, you remember watching us when we were young, didn't you? We weren't flying this tight, were we? No, we pulled out some of our old footage from 20 years ago, and we just fall out laughing now. And we just go, man, we thought we were good. We were just... So it took evolution over time to finally get to this level. And we appreciate what everybody, the response we've been getting for it, but I think that's about as close as we're going to do it.
I got two quick questions. The first one being, if you're in formation and you get into trouble, what exactly is your first call to get out? If a guy gets too close or you feel yourself in trouble, where do you go first? Do you have something that automatically you guys all know to do? And second question is, there's four aircraft and five numbers.
Oh, okay. Yes, we do. And we have had it happen. Doesn't happen often. It's usually we're thrown in a little different situation. We call that lost wingman, what you're saying. Say you screw up and you got lost. We never, ever lose sight of each other. That's one of our goals. If you watch the way our show is designed, we've lost a lot of friends in the past that have had midairs and things, but most of the times it was they did a maneuver that where you couldn't see each other. But what we call is blue sky. If we have a lot, if I was thrown out of the formation and I can't see the, I'm not going to try to blindly, well, I think they're right there. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say number three is going for blue sky. Number five is going for blue sky. Number two is going for blue sky. And that's where we say it. Number three is going for blue sky. What that means is if you're in formation and that happens, you throttle up. Wide open, everything you got, max climb, whatever you got, and you look over your head and you look for blue sky and you start pointing that way to get the hell out of there. Now, when you say that, the lead is going to, obviously, he's going to look over usually about that quick. And he's like, oh, all right, Steve, I got you. Put your right wing down. Put your right, okay. You're cleared back to join the formation again. So that's how we do that. But if y'all are ever practicing that, so if you lose sight, go to blue sky. Don't ever try to push a bad situation. As far as the why there's not a number four, Gene says to people ask him that, and he'll say, oh, one's down for maintenance. I guess I'll tell it for you. He lost a couple of good friends with a number four on it racing at Reno, and we retired that number. So that's the reason there's not a number four.